Hey y'all, Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze.
Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Listening is Odyssey's commitment to mental health conversations. If you or someone you know is struggling with thoughts of suicide, depression, anxiety, or mental illness, help is available. Call or text 988 to reach the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. That's 988.
Drunk driving kills thousands each year across the nation. And over the weekend, we received a painful reminder of that in Monroe County.
We were supposed to be planning a birthday party for Zane, not a funeral.
Could a new law on the way have helped prevent another needless tragedy? I'm Brian Fisher, and this is the Daily J.
Two kids have been killed, several other people seriously injured, after a vehicle crashes into a Monroe County boat club.
The Monroe County Sheriff's Office says the crash happened at about 3 p.m. at the Swan Creek Boat Club on Brancho Street near Blanchett in Berlin Township. Sheriff Troy Goodenough, during a press conference last night, says there were a total of 15 victims. Nine were taken to area hospitals by ambulance and medical helicopter with serious life-threatening injuries.
A total of three children and six adults were transported. Several others were transported by private vehicle to local hospitals. Unfortunately, in tragedy, two of the victims were pronounced deceased at the scene. This includes an 8-year-old female and a 5-year-old male, who are siblings of each other.
Audio courtesy of WXYZ. The 66-year-old female driver of the vehicle was arrested for suspected drunk driving. The investigation is ongoing.
That was WWJ's Greg Bowman and Chris Kaiser breaking down what we knew following a tragic crash into the Swan Boat Club in Monroe County. The crash killed 8-year-old Alana Phillips and her 4-year-old brother, Zane Phillips, as well as seriously injured 9 others, celebrating a birthday inside. The driver, Marcella Chidester, was allegedly intoxicated behind the wheel and is now facing 2 counts of second-degree murder, along with many other charges. At Chidester's arraignment, several of the victim's family members got the opportunity to speak. But listener discretion is advised.
I was there. I seen where my daughter, my mom, my sister, my nephew from the opposite side of the family, my sister's 3 children. We were supposed to be planning a birthday party for Zane, not a funeral. Knowing you have medical conditions, you should never get behind a wheel whether you are drinking or not. Taking medications, they tell you not to drink. But she still chose to drink. She still chose to get into that vehicle. I will never look at the month of April the same ever again.
As tragic as this story is, what is even more tragic is that stories like this aren't all that rare. Michigan State Police Lieutenant Mike Shaw spoke with fellow Daily J host Zach Clark for an episode on drunk driving back in 2022.
A 5-year trend, we're seeing the numbers kind of going back up. If you compare them to 2020, we saw there was about 2,843 drinking involved crashes. And in 2021, we saw 3,045. So, you know, it's kind of flat, but it's still an issue because for us, the biggest thing is this is a crime that doesn't have to happen, right? I mean, it's super simple. If you don't drink and get behind the wheel, this crime no longer exists. People don't die. People don't go to jail. There's no crash cars. There's no anything. And there's so many different things that you can do to avoid doing that. You know, Uber, a taxi cab, taking a bus, piggyback ride with your friend if that's what it takes. You have to put the blame where it is. And that's on the criminal that commits that crime.
So what is being done to prevent tragedies like this from occurring in the first place? Well, something already has been done. It just hasn't been implemented yet. Here is U.S. Representative Debbie Dingell in a conversation with WWJ's Jeff Gilbert.
We did pass provisions as part of the infrastructure bill that included the Halt Drunk Driving Act, which I introduced in the House, and then Ben Ray Lujan from New Mexico joined me in the Senate, and we got it through. And it will require automakers to install anti-drunk driving technology into new automobiles. To determine what the technology will be, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration has to undergo a rulemaking process. And they're currently in the early stages, are collecting data on the different technologies to inform their rulemaking.
So it sounds like what the NTSB said, and we're getting into the whole government alphabet soup here, is that they support what's already in process. Is that a fair way to put it?
That's a very good way to put it. The legislation that we passed was technology neutral.
As part of the infrastructure bill in 2021, the HALT Act was passed following the tragic deaths of the Abbas family in 2019. The family was headed home towards Northville from Florida when they were struck and killed by an under-the-influence wrong-way driver in Kentucky. The HALT Act requires all cars by 2026 to have some sort of alcohol detection technology. But what will that look like? A breathalyzer in your car? Apparently, that's not the case.
One thing that we should make clear is that, you know, those breathalyzers that are sometimes required for people that might have a record of drunk driving, that's not really what they're looking to do here. The keyword is passive. So it would be sensors in your vehicle, like breath sensors or touch sensors, that can somehow determine whether or not you're impaired. And there's going to be some parameters for that. NHTSA, the agency that will be issuing the rule for that, will be putting out some more details. But yeah, I mean, the aim is really to prevent impaired drivers from operating their vehicles and to ultimately, you know, make U.S. roadways safer.
That was Audrey LaForest, who covers the federal government for the Automotive News, as she details all the passive ways the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration is looking to implement these safety measures. She adds that one such way is through touch.
The auto industry has been working with NHTSA to develop what they call the driver alcohol detection system for safety technology. And that's the passive technology that we're talking about. So it features a breath and touch-based system to measure a driver's blood alcohol level. That's still under development. And even in terms of the requirement in the infrastructure law for this technology, or
it is not hard to destroy a college. Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
For impaired driving prevention technology to be in new vehicles, I don't know if it's been really determined yet what exactly that technology will look like, if it will be DADS as it's known, or if it will be something like that, but slightly different. So to be determined.
As of January 2024, NHTSA has begun the rulemaking phase of this technology. And by November of this year, the United States Department of Transportation must complete the process of setting a final standard for impaired driving prevention technology. What did Lieutenant Mike Shaw think about this law back when Zach spoke to him in 2022?
I'm a personal accountability kind of guy. I'm not looking for government oversight. You know, it shouldn't take me in my patrol car to tell you that it's a bad idea to get the behind the wheel drunk. So a lot of that is enforcement, because we have to have enforcement. If we just rely solely on education or talking to people and stuff like that, it's not going to work out, because there's no stick that goes with the carrot, so to speak. So there has to be enforcement with it. But again, I'm strictly a personal accountability guy, and that's kind of telling people, again, the only crime that can be totally prevented by such a simple task of getting a designated driver. And I would be remiss if we don't talk about weed. We're seeing a lot of people, education-wise, that believe that they can smoke marijuana and get behind the wheel and drive and they'll be perfectly fine. We're more than happy to lock you up and put you in jail if that's what it takes to get you not to do it, but we would prefer that you just didn't do it at all.
One thing we have yet to discuss is the cost of this law. It should not matter how much this technology is going to cost if it saves lives. But surely, this change does not come cheap, and automakers will care about that. Here is Audrey again.
Cost is a big question mark here, depending on what the technology ultimately looks like in the end. When I've reached out to the auto industry on this, specifically the Alliance for Automotive Innovation, which is a trade association here in Washington, D.C. that represents most of the major automakers in the U.S., you know, they've said that they've long been committed to supporting both public and private efforts to address alcohol-impaired driving. But yeah, in terms of how it affects vehicle costs and all of the above, I'm not sure yet.
The cost of these alcohol detection systems won't be cheap, but the cost in human lives lost due to drunk driving will always be more. And one has to wonder, if this technology had been in place, could this most recent tragedy have been prevented? Thanks to Representative Debbie Dingell, Lieutenant Mike Shaw, Audrey LaForest, and Jeff Gilbert for lending their expertise and reporting to this episode. And as always, this podcast wouldn't be possible without WWJ's digital team. Check out WWJNewsRadio.com for the top local news stories on demand 24/7.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Follow and listen to Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.